You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The US Federal Reserve is always in investors' spotlights, but it seems to me more so at the moment. And to that point, I received a piece of work from the desks of Alex Holroyd-Jones and Rebecca Phillips, portfolio manager and analyst respectively at 91 in London. Let me just read you a snatch from that piece. It says here, "The Fed has flipped into risk management mode, a subtle shift in language that carries major consequences for markets. What looks like a technical recalibration is, in practice, a tailwind for equities," said Alex Holroyd-Jones. And he's on the line with me now. Alex, as if equities need a tailwind, but you contend that that's what they're getting.
I think that's right, yeah. Thank you for having me. Yeah, I mean, I think one of the big mysteries this year is why markets have gone up so much when the risks seem so elevated and we're in what people expect to be a stagflationary environment, yet we can see equities going to the races. And I think there are some important drivers under the surface which have facilitated that.
And the Fed being one of them. I think the Fed at the moment, after the recent release of the FOMC minutes, the market's factoring in two more 25 basis point cuts this year. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that's right. And I mean, when you think about that and you look at where inflation is, inflation's above target, you have people saying, well, why are they doing this? But I think as we outlined in that piece, you know, there have been some changes which are subtle, but have meaningful implications that I think we're seeing playing out, which is really, really important for markets on a forward-looking basis.
What are the subtle changes of which you speak?
So I think we go back to earlier this year. When you think about the environment we're in, we had the tariff shock. And you know, that led to materially higher risks of stagflation. I think the markets priced that in. We saw the trapdoor open under markets in April. And then since then, I guess markets have recovered. But the Fed were at that point worried about inflation, which is right, because as we know, when tariffs go on your imports, then prices are going to rise. And I think the Fed were, to some extent, worried about prices and weren't able to adjust their policy for the growth shock that was coming because of the tariff hit. And as a result, that was arguably not a good environment for markets because the Fed weren't able to ease, constrained by higher prices, and the growth data looked pretty bad. But we fast forward to where we are today, and I think one of the key changes was that we saw actually weakness in the labor market. And, you know, conversely, that turns out to be pretty good because the Fed at that point would say, okay, well, actually, maybe we have to take our policy looser to try and guard against the risks that actually the labor market starts turning over more materially. And that's a big change because we find ourselves in this environment where, yes, prices are high, but the Fed are looking at these labor market risks. And at the same time, there are signs of the growth picture beginning to bottom out. So you went from a situation where the Fed weren't helping markets to now they are. And that's a big change.
You're sort of subtly saying, there's that word again, subtle. You're subtly saying that the Fed is prioritising the employment situation over inflation because in them, again, referencing that FOMC minutes statement, which was recently released, they said they want inflation back at 2% and they want the employment market buoyant. It seems to me, again, as a layman, that there is a case of wanting their cake and eat it.
I think that's very fair from an outside perspective, but I think you have to understand exactly how the Fed potentially set their policy. And I think this is, it's not necessarily right, but it's how they work. And I think the key point there is that they look for evidence that their policy is either loose or tight. If they can see evidence that policy is loose, then they would seek to potentially tighten. And if they see evidence that policy is tight, they would seek to loosen. And one of the key, if not the key element of that, is the labour market. So the current inflation rates may look high, but the way the Fed will work is they say if the labour market is deteriorating, then in the future, inflation will be lower. And early this year, there was no sign of the labour market deteriorating. If you remember, we had all these NFP prints, which were still coming out, and the labour market prints were still coming out very, very strong. And then fast forward to where we are today, those labour market prints are now at stall speed, so coming out close to zero, which reflects all of that uncertainty that we've seen. But in the Fed's mind, they will be saying, well, now we can see evidence that our policy is tight and therefore we have to loosen. And that's a big shift. And if that's happening whilst the growth environment is looking like it might be basing out as the tariff uncertainty falls, as financial conditions loosen, as lower interest rates start to impact the economy, then that's essentially becomes the best environment for risk assets, because you have a proactive central bank and a growth picture that's actually looking a little bit better.
Okay, so let's say we get two cuts this year, 25 basis points, 25 basis points, and there's a sort of a melt up in equities, if they haven't already factored those two cuts in, of course, because that is also something that could happen. But what about next year? A lot of people say, Alex, that the tariff situation is all very well now. It doesn't seem to be impacting inflation that much, but that's because the importers and the people that are affected by the tariffs are absorbing the tariff increases at the moment because they can. But later on, maybe in the first, second quarters of next year, they won't be able to absorb that, and they will pass it on to the consumer, and therefore inflation goes up. And then the Fed have got a problem, because people will moan ahead of the November elections, 2026.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really interesting point. I think first and foremost, it's important to note that the market and expectations, and I include the Fed in this, had already moved to think about there being a stagflationary hit. So to some extent, it was somewhat discounted. And as you said, like, ultimately, we've been through a period where actually those outcomes have been less bad as initially feared. So prices have actually been less acute. And to some extent, that is allowing the Fed to ease. And that's one of the reasons why, ultimately, if prices are less bad, then they can provide liquidity and not be too fearful about it leading to further price rises. But I think, as you say, the big issue potentially comes next year, because ultimately, this is a price shock. It might be less truncated than feared, and as a result, more protracted. So it takes time for this to filter into prices. And the market still expects it to be temporary. So I guess the big risk next year, which is most certainly at the forefront of our minds, is that actually prices remain stickier than us and the Fed fear. And that means that maybe the Fed are forced to be less accommodative next year. But what I would say, I keep coming back to, is in the short term, we're talking in the next 3 to 6 months, you have a Fed which is trying to guard against those labour market risks and is trying to provide liquidity. And you already mentioned it, we have, to some extent, the ingredients for a melt up in stocks, because you have a life-changing technology in AI. You have a growth backdrop which looks like it's basing out and picking up, and you have liquidity entering the market. And so in the short term, the next 3 to 6 months, you have this very, very positive environment for equities. And next year, I think that's where potentially it becomes more challenging if those price pressures remain stickier, which has to be a real risk.
Okay, let's take the actual data, the hard data, out of the equation now. And you very neatly avoided politics in your piece, you and Rebecca, Alex. I don't know if that was because of politics are even more erratic than data is, but there is an element of truth to the fact that the Fed, without Powell, will feel compelled to cut rates because of you-know-who.
Absolutely. I think it's a really important point. And it's most certainly something we think about. So, I mean, as the listeners will be aware, I mean, next year we see Powell is likely to step away from the Fed entirely. Obviously, we're going to get a new chair, and there'll be a number of appointees who are going to be appointed by Trump. I think, you know, ultimately, there is clearly a willingness and a desire from the administration to see interest rates fall, to potentially support growth next year. For now, you know, these demands for lower rates are not necessarily an issue for markets. And the reason being is because of those points I raised earlier, which is that policy is deemed to be tight because we can see that the labour market looks soft. The issues for markets will become next year if you have a new chair and new members of the board who are calling for cuts. If growth was looking very strong and prices were rising and they were still calling for cuts, that would become an issue. But for now, it's less of an issue because the economy is looking like it needs stimulus because of that labour market weakness. So it's a risk next year that potentially you see independence come under question from the Fed. But at the moment, there doesn't seem to be much in the way of an issue with what some of those more dovish members are saying.
Yeah, I wonder what will happen if the government continues to be locked down in the United States, because we can't get the non-farm payrolls numbers out. I'm sure that the Fed gets them under the table. But anyway, we've still got the ADP numbers. That's the private sector employment numbers every week. So we'll get a better picture with a couple of sets of data, I think. Now, on that point, what about your view, Alex? Is it going to be a melt-up or, at worst, a steady momentum of the bull market that has become so familiar to us since the dip in April of this year?
It's something that we continue to think about, how far markets can potentially run. And I keep coming back to, and you mentioned the labour market, I keep coming back to the labour market. And I think it is ultimately the most important indicator to watch for a number of factors. One is that we know to some extent it's lagging, in that, you know, firms don't make decisions immediately, it takes time. And what we are seeing at the moment is an echo of all of that uncertainty that was around earlier this year. And so the labour market that looks soft, we saw the ADP numbers were very weak, in particular the private sector job numbers looked very weak. But ultimately it reflects where we have been. And as a result, those numbers are likely to look soft for a while. But what that means is the Fed are going to remain accommodative as long as their numbers remain soft. And as I mentioned, that gives a window of 3 to 6 months where potentially we still see the uncertainty from early this year be continuing to weigh on those employment decisions. And that allows liquidity to remain abundant. And whilst liquidity is abundant and you have a growth picture which holds up, then the markets can have the potential to run quite hard. And I keep coming back to the fact that we're in an environment where fiscal policy looks quite loose, particularly in the US, but globally. And you've got interest rate cuts. And that combination is pretty rare outside of recessions. And so you can see why we have the ingredients to see the market continue to move higher. But what I would say, and what I'm not downplaying, is the fact that, you know, the labour market does clearly look weak. And while it looks that weak, there are the risks that it deteriorates further. And that's a risk that we continue to be acutely aware of. But for now, you're in this Goldilocks type environment where growth is strong and the Fed are supporting it. And that's a pretty bullish environment for markets.
The trend is your friend, as someone wisely said many, many years ago. What a complicated situation. But it will be less complicated once the Fed and the markets themselves do their own thing. Alex, thank you very much for your analysis. That was Alex Holroyd-Jones, portfolio manager at 91 in London. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.